You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, ESPN app, all of our great ESPN radio stations across the country, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Aloha, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. College football playoff rankings come out last night, and there were some things that surprised us. We thought Michigan would have a chance at number one overall after a win against Ohio State. They're number two. Georgia stays at number one. We thought that Ohio State would drop potentially down to seven or eight. They only dropped to six. We thought that Texas and Alabama specifically, would move up in the college football playoff rankings to around that 5, 6, 7 mark. Yeah, they're 7 and 8. No team ranked lower than a 6 seed at this time of the year has ever catapulted themselves into the college football playoff. What does that mean? That means there is actually maybe a small shot, but technically a shot that neither Georgia nor Alabama ends up in the college football playoff, and there's actually a shot that Ohio State, even after the loss to Michigan last weekend, still finds their way in.
But what sense does that make?
Then? None.
That's the part I don't get. Like, I mean, Ohio State was, what, second in the rankings, and they dropped down to six, and now Georgia, which is tops in the rankings, if they lose in the conference championship game, would fall all the way out of the top four? I don't even understand that. And then Alabama wouldn't have a case to be made if they have the single best win of anybody in the college football playoff, period? That makes no sense to me, but I guess the committee understands this is a TV show. They want the drama. They want to give us something to talk about. Thank you, committee, if that was your motivation. But if you listen to Boo Corrigan talk, it's clear that it's not. And that's the part that doesn't sit well with me, Smalls.
But just because it hasn't happened before doesn't mean it can't happen now, which is something that you said earlier in the show, and I wholeheartedly agree with. Because if Alabama beats Georgia, maybe they're just setting this up for a very dramatic and shocking jump for Alabama.
Okay, so play it out, all right?
Maybe.
So, okay, Alabama beats Georgia. Let's say Michigan wins. Let's say Washington wins. Let's say FSU wins. And then let's say Texas wins. How are you going to have an SEC team in? Go ahead. How? Based on their rankings.
So you said Michigan
Alabama wins. Has to jump Texas.
Okay, who they lost to.
Yeah.
Or Georgia stays
Alabama, in. Alabama has to jump Texas because it's – I mean, listen, I get that Texas has the head-to-head win, but Bama beat Georgia. They have to jump. They're saying that Georgia is the best team in the country, and they have been since the beginning of the season. That would be the best win that anybody in the playoff would have, including Texas. So Alabama has to be in over Texas. They would leapfrog the Big 12 champion even though they lost to him head-to-head. That would be the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and again, that may happen, and I agree it should happen, but based on the rankings last night.
In the history of it, yeah.
Yeah, they're telling us, no, it's not. That's what they're telling us. Like, hey, your scenario where you're going to get Alabama in, uh-uh. That's what they're trying to tell us today.
So Alabama wouldn't be in, and if we take...
Georgia would be.
But here's the thing. If we take what Heather Dennett said at face value yesterday after the rankings were released, she said that if Georgia loses, she doesn't think they'd be in.
Right, exactly.
So you would have two teams from the SEC on the outside looking in of the college football playoff.
That's just crazy.
Would be no legitimacy to the national title this year.
No,
zero.
I don't think that they would do that. But I don't understand how they can sit there and illustrate with their decisions that head-to-head matters, which is why Texas is over Alabama, but then not keep that same energy if Alabama were to beat Georgia.
Here's the other thing.
Right?
I can't make sense of it.
Okay, so here's your two things that you can choose from, which makes less sense to you guys, right? So option A is no SEC team in the college football playoff.
Let's
right?
just take that off the board.
Okay, no, but here's
that makes the least sense of all.
Right.
Are we sure? Here's the other thing. So based on the rankings, Ohio State is technically still alive. If Georgia wins, Michigan wins, and Washington wins, okay? They're in. We know that.
I think Michigan's in no matter what.
Okay, play this out, though. Oregon then loses to Washington, obviously. Texas loses to Oklahoma State. FSU loses to Louisville. Bama obviously would lose to Georgia in that scenario. Is Ohio State in as the fourth seed? Not playing this weekend, not winning their conference, losing to Michigan. Controversy around their head coach that CC has said, yeah, they're going to have to consider having those hard meetings as to is Ryan Day your guy moving forward. Mm-hmm. Is Ohio State in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think there's a path for them to get in, but that's a lot of dominoes that they would need to fall their way. This ain't last year, bro. Like that would be a lot of things that they need to have happen in order to make their
four
way
games.
In.
That's it. Four games.
That's a lot of games.
Less than five.
you need the outcome in four games to go exactly right for you to have a path to get in.
But we all sat here yesterday and we said, they shouldn't be an option.
No, they should have been. I thought they should have been behind Texas and Alabama.
Me too.
I did.
Me too.
Because those wins against Notre Dame and Penn State aren't as impressive as they were when they actually happened.
No.
Like, I mean, like, we had our guy Paul Feinbaum on, and he says the next time James Franklin wins a big game, it'll be the first time.
Right.
And like, yet, the head coach
and
of Penn
Ohio
State.
State's like, getting credit
that's
for
that. What I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're giving Ohio State a lot of clout for that win against Penn State, and then, of course, the win against Notre Dame, which, again, looks less impressive. So, I don't know. I guess the committee wanted to keep Ohio State within striking distance.
Why?
But I mean, it's one of the premier programs, or it's supposed to be one of the premier programs in college.
I think Ohio State fans don't want to be in. I think Ohio State fans last night see this and are actually mad about this.
Because they want Ryan Day gone.
They want Ryan Day out.
And if he's in the hunt, it's an argument.
You can't fire him. You cannot fire him if he gets into the college football
playoff. So Jim Harbaugh is getting what he wants.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh is in and Ryan Day is in.
There we go.
Exactly. No, seriously. I think Ohio State fans today are actually annoyed that they have a shot to get to the college football playoff because they want Ryan Day out more than they want their team in. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. You can jump in on your biggest beef for the college football playoff rankings on the Dr. Pepper call online at 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. All right, Jerry Jones, owner slash general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, speaks every week to 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And we know they're playing well. We know Dak is playing well. So who gets the credit for that, Jerry?
Really, I can definitively say this is the best I've seen him play. I think that I would give Mike McCarthy a lot of credit here because Mike has done a great job of coaching how important it is that they get the fundamentals down of what we're trying to do offensively. They've stayed consistent with the changes and what he's trying to do offensively. That's paying off.
Mike McCarthy, the credit for Dak. I love hearing this. As somebody that has defended Mike McCarthy for a long time, I think he gets a bad rap. I think that I understand you've brought it up a million times, CeCe, and you're right. I'm not going to fight you on it because you're right. Circumstances around the way in which Sean Payton took over New Orleans, much different than the way in which Mike McCarthy took over Green Bay.
No doubt.
Numerically, they look very similar. And one guy, Payton, rightfully so, gets a ton of credit. The other guy, McCarthy, maybe because Rodgers and put that divide between them, doesn't get a lot of credit. Mike McCarthy's showing off a little bit this year, and I like it.
I think both coaches are showing off a little bit, which Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos have been doing. I mean, not too many coaches have been able to turn around a team that started off 1-5. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, I think you have to give Mike McCarthy a little bit of love. We didn't know how this thing was going to work out when Kellen Moore left as the OC because that was the guy where Dak had a lot of success with. I think they had, three number one ranked offenses in the 4 years that he was the coordinator? Whether it be points or yards, they were ranked tops in one or two of those categories in 3 of the 4 years he was the OC. So, yeah, I mean, we just didn't know what it would be, but you got to give credit where credit is due. And I thought Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live yesterday did a great breakdown on some of the concepts and some of the wrinkles that Mike McCarthy put in for in-game adjustments for Dak to take advantage of, including the touchdown throw that he had to Brandon Cooks. His ability to be able to marry all of the different play calls, not only in the run game but in the passing game, has made a difference. I think Dak's willingness to use his legs to extend the down but also using his legs to run, to advance the ball, to sustain drives, that matters. But ultimately what this is going to come down to for McCarthy is not the individual statistics for Dak, but whether or not they win games when it matters most in the playoffs, and specifically getting past that glass ceiling that has been the divisional round for the Dallas Cowboys since Dak has gotten there. They haven't been to a conference championship game in 27 years, and Jerry Jones ain't buying green bananas. It's time to break through. And so being able to have 3 consecutive double-digit win seasons doesn't matter when it comes to the job security if Mike McCarthy can't get this team to the championship rounds.
But isn't the individual performance of Dak Prescott, and if he can enhance that, probably the answer to them breaking through?
Yeah, being good in close games against quality competition matters too. And like I said, they haven't beaten a team over 500. They're 0-2 in those opportunities, and they got their doors blown off against the San Francisco 49ers. So I don't know how we can sit here today and say we have any degree of confidence that even with what we're seeing, the video game numbers from Dak, that the results are going to be different once we get to January football.
Yeah, he'll have to prove it when the lights are the brightest on the biggest stage. But I'm not.
Who has to prove it more, McCarthy or Dak? I'm curious.
I think if Dak proves it, McCarthy proves it. Like, by proxy, if Dak has that success and he breaks through, we're going to give McCarthy the credit, just like Jerry Jones is now, because this is who Mike McCarthy is. Because of the headlines and the way that it ended in Green Bay, we forget the way that he has enhanced the careers of a lot of quarterbacks. He was very instrumental in the development of Aaron Rodgers. I went back and looked it up because I remember him being a really big help to Brett Favre at some point in his career. Bob McGinn at The Athletic really put it together nicely. But when McCarthy came back to the Packers in 06, Brett Favre was coming off a career high total of 29 interceptions. His passer rating was 70.9. Mike McCarthy took a very hands-on approach. He changed the scheme. He really worked with Brett Favre. He had a passer rating that went up from a 70.9 to 95.7. He's done this throughout his career, which is part of the reason why they wanted to bring him in Dallas and have him work with Dak. So I'm not surprised we're seeing this version of Dak, but it's a shame that it doesn't really matter what happens in the regular season.
I'm surprised a little bit. I mean, I get what you just pointed out, but Brett Favre won a championship before McCarthy, and he got to an NFC championship with the Minnesota Vikings after Mike McCarthy. I don't know how much credit I'm giving Mike McCarthy for Brett Favre. Clearly, he was great in working with Aaron Rodgers, and now he's showing that he's great when it comes to working with Dak Prescott. But what matters is, can you win a championship with less than Hall of Fame caliber quarterback play? That is the question that we're trying to get answered for Mike McCarthy right now.
You know, this has been a bad year for Aaron Rodgers. There's something else that you could play out here. And I don't think he dislikes Mike McCarthy. I think they're actually a lot better than the perception.
Okay.
Imagine if McCarthy gets the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, the Packers win more games this year than they did last year, and the Jets win less games this year than they did last year. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I mean, everything
Maybe McCarthy, maybe Matt LaFleur weren't the problems in Green Bay.
CeCe, everything I just said.
Brian Gutekunst either.
I mean, that it's not his impossible.
His legacy takes a hit.
Right?
Aaron Rodgers' legacy takes a hit. There's no question
Did
about
anything
it.
Anything I just said seem nope. extreme to you?
Nope.
We will continue that conversation because Rodgers had comments yesterday about his return, plus more of your phone calls coming up on the Dr. Pepper call online at 888-SAY-ESPN about your college football ranking beef. But first, CeCe has this from Grainger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions, like why Sabonis couldn't get 14 rebounds last night. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Of course, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Hot Ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Get great deals on the hottest tickets. Experience it live. Smalls had a hot ticket going to the Jets-Dolphins on Friday.
Hello!
The Black Friday game, the first one, of course, of the NFL, or in history of the NFL.
Yeah.
You had it on Friday.
Good seats?
Great seats.
Really? Where were you at?
We were in a suite.
You were in
Thanks to ESPN New York.
Was it a field level suite? Was it the upper level suite?
Right in the middle.
The mid level suites?
Oh, yeah, nice. They were great.
Nice, nice. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. It's the first.
Great sight lines, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the first NFL game I've been to in years.
Okay.
And I forgot how fun it is.
Did you bring the entourage like Taylor Swift? Did you have Andy and the Housewives with you?
Or? I didn't have Andy and the Housewives. Even better, I had my dad, Tony Smallman, my uncle Johnny, and my cousin Brian. So we were rolling in Tommy DeVito style.
Hey, I like it. I like it.
Well, family. One of the guys you saw there, he was on the sidelines, is Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, every week he goes on with Pat McAfee, noon until 3 Eastern on ESPN. And Rodgers gave a little bit more of a hint as to his possibility of returning.
It's always been first, am I healthy? And then, are we alive? Are we in it? Are we playing good enough to make a run? Can I step in and protect myself and play at the level that I feel like I'm capable of playing? But the first part is the health. So can I protect myself? Can I move around the way I want to move around? We're not where I can make a decision on playing because I'm just, health-wise, I'm improving steadily, but I'm not at ability to play at this point.
Okay, so maybe a little bit more logical there with Rodgers. Maybe a little bit less of I have to come back immediately, and I think he's going to play this out. I don't think.
You think he's going to play this out?
Well, play it out like play out the Jets.
Okay, got it.
Meaning
I wasn't
at
sure.
Some point, and I have literally no idea who has this man's ear. Like I don't think anyone has his ear to influence him to protect him from himself. Like I can't think of one person that would have his ear.
Man, you heard the head coach. If Rodgers wants to play, he's going to play.
Right.
They don't have any control over him. They've ceded control of the organization to eight. I mean, the owner is wearing a Woody chain because he thought it was cool that Sauce Gardner bought Rodgers a chain. Like that. Think about that. Like, that's the levels that they've gone to. Now, I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers doesn't deserve special treatment, for goodness sake. The guy gave back $35 million on his contract that he didn't have to because the Jets had a tight crunch when it came to their salary cap.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there has to be limits, there has to be boundaries. And outside of Rodgers gracing his presence to the New York Jets, all the other decisions that were Rodgers-centric haven't really worked out. Remember the Jets, because they swapped first-round draft picks with the Green Bay Packers, they missed out on Broderick Jones, the starting right tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got Will McDonald instead. How's that working out for the Jets? They ended up having a situation where they signed Alan Lazard to big-money free agency. How's that working out for the Jets? Healthy scratch last week. They went out and they got Randall Cobb. I mean, he's a nothing burger, a non-factor. No disrespect because Randall Cobb has been a good player in this league, but he's not contributing to the Jets in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they kept Zach Wilson around because Aaron Rodgers likes him. As the backup quarterback, has Zach done the job? No, he got replaced by Tim Boyle. I mean, and then, of course, the coup de grace, hiring Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator. And they have literally the worst offense in the NFL. So all of the other Rodgers-centric decisions that the Jets have made have, in effect, set the organization back. If you don't have Aaron Rodgers on the field, we all knew it was going to be a slog. But I don't know that it would have been this bad because of the other ancillary decisions that they made around it.
Well, and somebody has to protect him from himself, and I don't know that they're going to do that here. I just don't.
No, they're definitely not going to do that. He's the one in charge, as CeCe said. So yeah. They don't think he needs protecting because they've given him all of the power. The Nathaniel Hackett one is so interesting to me because, yes, you want your offensive coordinator to be in lockstep with your quarterback. That's so important. But there are other players you have to account for. When Rodgers was asked if he believes in the Nathaniel Hackett system, he said, I want MVP in that system, so I believe in it.
You want MVP in other systems too, dog.
But they built this team for him specifically. Sure. They built this offense for him specifically. And then they had the rude awakening of what life would look like when he was out of the equation. And I just think it's a little, I think it's a huge gamble to take that same approach next season, which is exactly what they're going to do.
But here's the thing, Smalls. If the system is dependent on a Hall of Fame system, then what's the system worth? Like, if you can't have success unless you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, then it's probably not a damn good system. So I guess that's my biggest issue with the Jets. It's like, I get it. You had to go all in order to get Rodgers. But at the same time, at what cost? You're depending on a 40-year-old quarterback to save your franchise. Not just save the season, but to save your franchise. And the craziest part about the road that the Jets have gone down is that they're going to make the same decision in 2024.
I can't believe
that. We're going to beg Aaron Rodgers to save our franchise again after his season ended four plays in with an Achilles injury. So him going into his age 41 season, coming off of a devastating injury, is supposed to be the guy that's going to save our franchise. It seems absolutely asinine.
Rodgers did have something that I do agree with, though, what he said yesterday with Pat McAfee. He gave an assessment of the young quarterbacks around the NFL.
There's not a lot of opportunities for people to learn and grow and go through their lumps. You know, they're already crowning Stroud and burying Bryce Young, right? It's the first year, you know? And yeah, Stroud's been fantastic. And Bryce, he hasn't had the same type of numbers. And obviously they've won one game, but like, are we really going to bury a kid, you know, 22-year-old kid after a season? God, I hope not. And I wouldn't count against that kid. I think he's a phenomenal player.
Is anybody burying Bryce Young?
I do think so. I actually think so.
You think people are burying Bryce Young?
Yeah, I think.
But here's the thing. I don't look at it as burying Bryce Young to say that C.J. Stroud has a higher trajectory based on what we've seen from the two quarterbacks. And they're going to be inextricably linked because they were the 1 and 2 picks of the draft. And the Carolina Panthers had a choice between Stroud and between Bryce. And it sounds like there were some people that were split because David Tepper talked about it a little bit yesterday. Originally, their plan was to go to number two because they thought Bryce Young would go number one and they would end up with C.J. Stroud. Now, I guess you could be led to believe that maybe Frank Reich, the head coach who played quarterback in this league, might have wanted a different guy. And maybe he intimated as much in that awkward press conference that he had a month ago that was the prelude to him getting fired in the middle of the season. But I digress. I guess my whole point is this. I don't look at anybody to say that Bryce Young can't be a competent NFL quarterback is irresponsible. But I also think it's equally as irresponsible to think that Bryce Young is going to be better than C.J. Stroud based on what we've seen.
I don't think that it's over for Bryce Young. And this is not an indictment on him as a talent. I've just seen far too many times when very talented quarterbacks come out of college and they get put in volatile situations and volatile organizations that are bad for a reason, and they aren't given the tools to succeed. And that's what I worry about with Bryce Young.
There's a difference
Well, hold on. Can we make that same case for C.J. Stroud?
But
think about this. Going into last offseason, weren't the Texans one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the NFL?
Without question. He has transcended that.
But just no doubt.
But I guess that's my point. Like, there are some quarterbacks that have that innate ability to rise above, and you can't test it with the S2 cognition test. You can't measure for it at the combine. And it's clear and obvious to me that C.J. Stroud has that. Bryce Young, not so much. Doesn't mean that Bryce can't be a good quarterback in his league, but he doesn't have that intangible that allows him to elevate the performance of everybody around him, players and coaches included. And I guess that's the point. Like, looking at the trajectory of the two players, I don't think there's an argument to be made about who the better pro is going to be. It's C.J. Stroud. And that's it's just what it is. Now, I'm not saying that Bryce Young can't be good, but clearly, in hindsight, the pick was C.J. Stroud, not Bryce Young.
But that's why people are, like, what you just said is why people are taking it as Bryce Young is not good forever, right? There's a difference, and you didn't say that. But to me, there's a difference between saying someone has not been good and they won't be good, right? Bryce Young to date has not been good. That doesn't mean he won't be good. We talk about with Justin Fields and the Bears. Justin Fields is probably not going to be the guy for the Bears. That doesn't mean he can't be the guy for someone else, right? There needs to be a second sentence in the Bryce Young conversation, and I think a lot of the fans, and maybe Rodgers, are hearing just the first sentence.
Yeah.
He hasn't been good. Here's the thing
that makes me skeptical about him ever being good.
Okay, well, now you are going there.
He's playing for David Tepper.
Okay.
Well, that's what I was saying is I don't think that he's going to be put in a situation where they're going to pour into him and give him the stability needed to grow. I mean, we haven't seen it so far. And yes, C.J. Stroud was drafted by an organization that historically has been a hot mess.
They had a chaplain running the team for half a decade.
And he has been transformative.
Again, but, I need to say this. Sorry, Small. I have to say this. CeCe is not joking about that. That is not a figurative thing. That is a literal thing. They took the Patriots team chaplain, and he was drafting for them. And he wasn't drafting people out of the church.
God
told with the us number one pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select God.
Wow. Mel, over to you. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, joined in studio. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter. Okay, before we get all football out here, there's a story out there in the NBA I got to ask you about. Jeremy Sohan is of the San Antonio Spurs. Why am I bringing him up, huh? Why? He puts ketchup on pizza. Your thoughts, Kmart. Go ahead.
Oh, on pizza? He's not from New York or New Jersey, obviously.
Yeah. We have our microphone on. Is our microphone on? I don't think it's on there. It's for somehow. It's, or maybe get closer there. No, it's still not on.
Here, you can have mine.
How, all right, now Kimberly has 17 mics, I think.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm in the studio. yeah, no, he's clearly not from New York or New Jersey. Why would anybody put ketchup on pizza? Who does that?
That feels like a guy. Pat Mahomes move, right? How he puts ketchup on steak.
What's worse? Wait, what's worse? The pizza on ketchup, the ketchup on pizza or the steak?
Ketchup on steak is worse.
Ketchup on pizza seems disgusting.
No, ketchup on steak, well, at least, I mean, ketchup is tomato-based, and pizza has tomato sauce, so I could see how, in a convoluted, roundabout way, it could be acceptable.
No, you're wrong.
She's right.
Kimberly took the microphone away from him.
You're asking me to make the case for something that I fundamentally do not disagree with.
Okay, all right, let's get into the football stuff. David Tepper, owner of the Carolina Panthers.
He probably puts ketchup on his pizza.
Is he someone? I know there's only 32 of these things. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going to work for him.
Yes.
A person that has options, will mm-hmm. they ever consider him over anyone else?
If you have options, you shouldn't. If you have options, I mean, here's the benefit to Carolina. You know that he's not going to fire the next person after 11 games. Mm-hmm. You know that.
You sure about that?
Fair. But almost like John Mara, where like John Mara went through his like three coaches and then, you know, well, we'll see with Brian Dable. But
wow.
But no. But I do think John Mara understood I can't keep doing that. We need stability. And I think Tepper gets that at this point.
Kmart, so Adam Schefter, as Evan passes the microphone. As Evan passes the microphone to me.
We're at the right table.
No, please don't say an
entanglement. We are in an entanglement. Okay, August, Alcina, and Jada. Okay,
maybe that's what we should be talking about.
But Kmart, we heard Schefter over the weekend say that as many as 7 to 10 coaches could be fired this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, after we have these firings in season, we always wonder who's next. Who could be the surprise at the end of the year? What are you hearing about who could be next on deck? As Ray and Claude said in life, the on deck, who's on deck to be clipped as the head coach that is currently in a job?
I mean, everybody expects Ron Rivera, Brandon Staley. I feel horrible talking about those. There was speculation about what are the Jets going to do, like Saleh. But I think all Nathaniel Hackett, Saleh, Joe Douglas are all fine. Bill Belichick is the one that I'm looking at. Does he want to leave? Would he want to go somewhere else? How, if he did, how would Robert Kraft handle that, especially with him being so close to Shula's record? Close could be 2 to 3 years of him trying to break that record. But right now there aren't any surprises to me. Like, I think there are just some guys that we just it feels like they're playing out the string. And just when you listen to their press conferences, it reminds me, I've covered a lot of head coaches over the years. The tenor of the press conferences sound the same, where you're just like, yeah, you're looking at dead men walking, unfortunately.
Kimberly, do you think Sean McDermott could be in that conversation?
So, you know what's interesting about Sean? Him and Brandon Bean just, like, re-upped. So, I think Buffalo feels like an insulated market. I lived there for a brief bit. I don't think Sean is on the hot seat, particularly because of the catastrophic injuries on defense. That said, look at the Browns. You look at all these other teams, all the quarterbacks that have gone down, the Vikings. Nobody's giving Kevin O'Connell, you know what I mean, like a pass, like, ah, oh, you lost Kirk Cousins. Like, all right, guess mm-hmm. season's done. So if the Bills don't make the playoffs, I don't think he'll be gone. But I think we're looking at a situation where he could be on borrowed time, despite him and Brandon Bean always seeming to get re-upped.
We are unsportsmanlike, and we're Nas, because all we need is one mic, I guess, today.
Nas.
Yeah, that's right. Aloha, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, Kimberly A. Martin in studio. We're down a mic. Well, we have enough.
No, then.
Yours still doesn't work. I don't understand. What's going on over there? Okay, I just want to make sure we're okay.
All right.
Sharing is caring.
We've got to get the sports in it. We got to get this in.
Get the info.
Eagles, Niners this weekend, obviously game of the weekend. Explain to us. We trust ESPN bet. We get it. How are the Niners, who I think are going to win the Super Bowl? I've said this a million times, but they're favored on the road at the Eagles?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. No, I really don't, because the home team automatically, you get spotted 3 points, like, just by being the home team. But this speaks to how good the 49ers are when healthy. It speaks to how the Philadelphia Eagles, despite having the best record, don't look like that. They don't look like that unbeatable monster that they were last year, right? But their record is still great. I'm surprised that they are underdogs at home. I really am. I think that's kind of disrespectful.
Kmart, we have a matchup between two teams in Week 13 where it's clear that their playoffs are starting now. That would be the Denver Broncos visiting the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. Now, the Broncos have rattled off 5 wins in a row, and DeMeco Ryans has resurrected the Houston Texans. Is this game not just about playoff standings, but potentially a matchup between the top 2 Coach of the Year candidates?
DeMeco, for sure, Coach of the Year. If the Broncos make the playoffs, yeah, I could see Sean Payton being a Coach of the Year. Think about it. If the officiating had been better in that Texans game, Texans-Jaguars game, the Texans could be on a 4-game winning streak themselves. Yeah. So, CJ Stroud, I am fascinated by the new guy versus the old guy. Like, the two quarterbacks, Russell is playing better. For me, though, and it's no shade against Russell, for me, though, the difference is this defense. Are they going to be able to keep taking the ball away? Are they going to be able to force those turnovers consistently throughout the season? I'm excited about this matchup. I've seen CJ Stroud beat Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I've watched them. This is a roster where
He's him.
People are like, what's the receiving corps? Tank Dell, Nico Brown, like Collins, Noah Brown, like what? And they're balling out. I love Tank, whose real name was Nathaniel. But he's officially tanked. He's officially tanked.
He changed it when he saw Hackett.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Nathaniel Hackett, let's talk about the New York Jets. So they built this team in a lot of ways for Aaron Rodgers to succeed. Now Aaron Rodgers is not part of the equation. It feels like they're going to go down that same road again next year, really building around him, giving him all this power. Is that a mistake?
No. Is it a mistake? No, you're in it. Like, you can't say, like, oh, let's make a baby and then be like, oh, well, I don't know. Like, we made a mistake. No, you literally
They're pregnant.
See it through, people. See it through. And this is my only concern with.
I don't know that you said that right. I think it's let's have a baby, not make the baby. You'll keep trying.
Oh yeah, keep trying. But like with Robert Saleh, this was my fear. Like, who's really in charge, right? Who's the leader when Aaron Rodgers gets here? You kind of have to like bestow kind of the leadership role onto him. But here, you saw what happened when Rodgers went down. Like, now you're like, guys are frustrated, and they've managed to rally around each other. And Garrett Wilson, credit to Garrett Wilson and Sauce and these young guys trying to pull it all together. But they're in it, man. Ride this thing out. Like, give it one more shot. I do wonder about the Alan Lazard and the you know, like, the who's the running back? Not Breece Hall. The Dreads. Why am I having – from Minnesota –
Dalvin Cook.
What is wrong with me? Wow.
What is wrong with him is the question.
No, well, really? I wonder, like, what year? Is what happens with the roster? Because it's not, they're not just an Aaron Rodgers away from a Super Bowl. It's like they're a whole offensive line, healthy offensive line away.
None of them are healthy.
All right. Well, Kmart's got to get over to what are you doing today? Get Up and First Take?
You know it.
Get Up and First Take on ESPN starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Of course, coming up, I'm over here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's time for a round of I'm Over It here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2. Hello, I'm Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. And many times when we're talking to Pat, CC will say, don't encourage him. Don't encourage him. This is the spot where we actually have to encourage him. Pat, what are you over today?
First, I would like to start with this college football playoff ranking. I don't understand how Michigan can possibly be seen as the number two team after beating Ohio State. And I also don't understand how Ohio State's even still in consideration. It drives me insane. I've been on the Michigan thing all season. I think they're the best team clearly in college football. Can someone please justify how Georgia's still number one?
I think because of their win streak and dating back to the last two seasons. And I don't believe that the last two national championships should play any role into this season's college football playoff rankings. But I think they do. I think you're 1,000% right about this. I also think because of the fact that Ohio State only dropped to number six, the Michigan win over Ohio State is the single best win of any team this year in college football. Yeah. Of those that are competing for a college football playoff.
Could not agree more.
Cosign, retweet, all of that.
So they should be absolutely number one team in America. But they're not. And I think the 12-0 Georgia is really 29-0. And I think that's really what it is. I think they've won the last two national championships. But guess what? A guy that CC has said as a rookie is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and Jalen Carter, yeah, he ain't there anymore. A guy in Stetson Bennett that won multiple championships, he ain't there anymore. So it's not the same Georgia team. It's the same laundry and the same coach, but not the same team. And Pat, that is why I think they're ranked number one. That's when you go, Pat, when I say your name and like I lead you back into that. You know?
Okay. I wasn't sure if anyone else had anything left.
Yeah.
No, we disagree with you. We agree with you.
Okay. Cereal's too expensive and I'm over it. It's like $7 a box now. It's completely it's like completely ridiculous. There's no value in buying cereal currently. I can't stand it. I love cereal. I want to eat more cereal. It's way too expensive. It's it blows my mind. You walk down the cereal aisle, how expensive cereal is.
Is there a specific cereal you're purchasing that's this high in price?
It's across the board.
Your cereal of choice?
Like I'm talking about like the normal like brands that you think of whenever you think of cereal. I'm not talking like, you know, the
store
Stop and Shop brand or whatever.
No, but I want to know, Pat, when you're going to the grocery store, what cereal are you buying?
I'm like a Honey Nut Cheerios guy, like a Salmon Chex, you know something?
Chex.
What about Golden Grahams? I love
Golden
Grahams.
Golden Grahams slap.
Oh, I got scared.
Golden Grahams absolutely slap.
Wow, I just got really nervous.
Golden Grahams are so ridiculously underrated. When you talk about great cereals, you're going to go Lucky Charms. You're going to go Fruit Loops. Everyone's going to throw in Honey Nut Cheerios. Golden Grahams are the sneaky goat in the cereal world. Really? The milk afterwards, amazing.
Golden Grahams. I didn't realize you were going hard for Golden Grahams.
100%.
They just look like a bootleg Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No, better.
I had the battle growing up with my sister. She would always have the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I would always have the Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams.
Team Golden Grahams all the way.
Oh, y'all crazy. Hit. Y'all are tripping. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Golden Grahams.
All right, okay.
They're not just good.
Do you want to trust?
Golden.
Hold on, think about it. Are you going to trust you guys' food takes or the food takes from the 350-pounder?
You want me to start eating to get to close to 350
pounds? There you go. I need to get really heavy
in order to have
That's what I'm saying.
That indicates you don't think I'm that heavy, which makes me love you even more. So thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
But Golden Grahams are great. Now, Nuno is trying to say something to me. I have no idea what he's saying, but it's to call out Pat. So just say it on the air, Nuno.
Yeah.
So Pat has a sign, your sponsorship here, above his shoulder. But he had spelled sponsorship wrong, and he had taken it down.
Oh, my God.
So, how did you spell it?
No, Pat. Show the other one. Please.
We're available.
Oh, that's all time. That is all time. Nuno's going over there. He's moving Pat out of the way. Pat's segment, I'm over it, is a funny, great segment. I know a lot of our sales and marketing team that are phenomenal happen to love this segment, and we're looking for the right, proper brand to associate with this.
Oh, here we go.
And you spelled sponsorship wrong.
Wait, we got to see it.
We got to get a close-up. There you go, Javon.
How did he spell it?
S-P-O-N-S-H. O R S H I T.
Wow. I was typing for
There's an extra H in there.
There's the H in there.
Shoreship.
Your sponsorship.
I promise you, you'll probably get a sponsorship. I don't know if you'll get a sponsorship, though. Wow.
Sponsorship. Sounds dirty.
Sounds dirty.
By the way, our
very tricky business, those sponsorships.
Our social media guru, the great Rob Lorenzo, has put out there that cereal is not $7.
Yeah.
That Pat is clearly buying the family size.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing, Pat? Because are you spreading misinformation during your sponsorships?
No, I'm just buying normal cereal.
$7.
So the regular size box.
No way is it $7.
After taxes?
Not the box that you're getting at Costco.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to the grocery store today. I'm going to do some on the ground research.
Recon?
Yeah.
A little recon? Okay.
But, okay, now I'm going to come off like you would expect me to come off here. But here's the thing.
What you really going for, them Golden Grahams?
Aren't there certain items at the supermarket you don't look at the price? I don't think I've ever looked at the price of cereal.
Must be nice.
I knew I was going to come off that way, but CeCe, I'm looking at you specifically.
I'm with you. You know, the thing for me is hot sauce. I never look at the price of hot sauce. Don't care what it is.
You're just
going to
buy it anyway?
Yeah. Hot sauce, barbecue sauce, salad dressing. I'm not looking at the price for condiments.
Yeah, if you want it, you want it.
I'm going to have it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree.
It's got to be in the house.
I agree. Yeah. Next.
I'm completely over Deebo Samuel and the amount of stuff that he's talking about the Eagles and James Bradbury. The 49ers have not stopped talking smack since they got blasted in the NFC Championship game last year. They need to just shut up and stop being babies about it.
What if they get smoked again? We keep talking about this whole thing with the Dallas Cowboys not being able to get over the 49ers hump. What if the 49ers can't get over the Eagles hump? Like, what if they can't get over it?
That's how I see it playing out.
That won't
out.
Be great
wow.
for my Super Bowl
That's
pick.
That's how I see
I'll
it playing out.
No, that wouldn't be great for your Super Bowl
I
pick.
I see San Francisco beating how? Dallas and Philadelphia beating San Francisco.
Color me shocked that your Super Bowl pick could be wrong. Anyway, so Smalls, yeah, like.
Right? Don't you see it playing out that
way? I could see it that way because Philly can give it to you any way you want it. Like, they can be physical. It could be the run game. It could be the downfield vertical passing game. It could be a closely contested defensive battle, like they can play any style of football game and find themselves on the winning end. They have more versatility in terms of their pathways to winning games than any team in the National Football League. So that's why it's hard not to look at them as a team that could give the 49ers a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and if you're going to talk that talk, you better back it up.
No doubt.
Did you have something else on that?
No,
I didn't know. Okay, you got it. Just making sure you had it.
They give it to you any way you want it.
Yeah.
Better cereal, Golden Grahams or Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's out there at Evco Radio, at Unsports ESPN, at M Smallman, at Chris Canty 99, as part of the Dr. Pepper call in line and Dr. Pepper inbox. You can give us a call at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. That's a great sponsorship that we have here for the call in line, the sponsorship that Pat Costello is looking for a sponsorship and spelled the word sponsorship incorrectly. I mean, you cannot do better or worse than that. College football playoff rankings. CC wants the guy in charge fired of them. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.